My guest at this time is Alabama Republican Congressman Mo Brooks. He's a freshman representing his state's 5th Congressional District and is a member of the House Armed Services Committee. We want to get his thoughts today on an issue that's not getting a lot of attention, at least not since the failure of the Super Committee late last year. And that's what's going to happen with defense spending if sequestration continues, as well as some of the president's other budget priorities go forward, which both call for severe spending cuts. And Congressman, thanks so much for being with us.
My pleasure.
This seems to be the exception to the rule. Most of the time, Republicans are looking for spending cuts, and Democrats seem to be fighting on a lot of the issues. This time, it's reversed. The basics of this is that about $500 billion over 10 years just from sequestration would be resulting in defense spending cuts. And, of course, the president and the defense secretary, Gates, already had quite a bit of money lined up to cut out in addition to that. So where do both of those stand right now?
Well, the White House is taking both sides of the fence. On the one hand, you've got Secretary of Defense Leon Panetta publicly stating that sequestration would be devastating for our national defense capabilities. Most estimates are to the effect that it would reduce our military and defense capabilities by roughly 25%. Then on the other hand, you've got the White House and President Obama publicly stating that he'll veto any efforts to change sequestration. And let me be clear about sequestration and national defense. I believe that all of the federal government needs to be cut to some degree or another, but I tend to want to protect national defense because it is the number one priority of the federal government. Whatever is needed to best ensure the safety of America and its citizens, that's how much we have to pay for, and the other items in the budget ought to be cut. This White House, in contrast, seems to have national defense at the bottom of its priorities, and hence, although national defense is only 17 to 18% of total spending, it is taking 50% of the cuts under the sequestration measure, which is in the neighborhood of $40 to $60 billion per year. And I have that range because the Budget Control Act, when it talks about the term national defense, it has a definition that is different than most of us use. Most of us think of the Pentagon and our men in uniform. Well, the definition of the act goes beyond that.
You mentioned a moment ago that if all these cuts were to go through as scheduled, we're looking at a 25% reduction in the capability of our armed forces. What would that look like in practical terms with respect to what we could respond to, what we're capable of doing, and so forth?
Well, there are a number of different scenarios, depending upon which option the White House takes. And the White House is ultimately going to make that decision since that's where the commander-in-chief resides. One scenario has a 700,000 reduction in force, roughly 100,000 uniformed personnel, 100,000 DOD civilian support workers, and a 500,000 contractors who develop and manufacture those gee whiz bang weapons that give our fighting soldiers a much better chance in the battlefield. That's one scenario. Another scenario would be to mothball 1 to 2 of our carrier battle groups, 1 to 2 of our submarines, reduce our fighter and strategic bomber capabilities by 10 to 30%, cut our rapid response forces by 20%. Those are the guys when there's a firefight. They're first on the scene trying to stabilize it until such time as the rest of our forces can be called up. This latter scenario would also include somewhere in the neighborhood of 180,000 fewer uniformed personnel and 120,000 fewer DOD civilian support workers. So that's the second scenario. The White House scenario is to put its head in the sand and pretend that it's not going to happen. I was in a hearing this week in which I pressed White House representatives on what planning they're engaging in. You have to have planning when you're going to cut those kind of numbers from our defense capabilities. And their reaction was, we're not doing any planning. I'm thinking, and I asked them, I said, oh, wait a minute. Sequestration goes into effect in 8.5 months on January 1st of 2013. Are you telling me that we're going to wait until December 31st of 2012 and still not have a plan for how you're going to implement those cuts on January the 1st of 2013? And the message was, we don't know. Then we had another representative from the White House testify before the House Armed Services Committee, pretty much akin to these others, that they're not going to do anything until January 1st. And on January 1st, if sequestration kicks in, then they're going to cut 8 to 9% of every military contract on the low side, on the high side, 13-14% of every military contract, which begs the question of, okay, what part of the ship are you not going to construct? Are you going to get rid of the stern or the bow? What part of the airplane are you going to leave off? If you're not going to, I mean, if you're going to cut it, there are hundreds of thousands of these contracts, by which we supply our troops, our men and women in uniform, and every single one of them would have to be terminated for convenience of the government and renegotiated, and it would be a logistical nightmare, thus causing someone from the Pentagon a couple of weeks ago to testify before the United States Senate that it would be the equivalent of a Pentagon shutdown. They'd be spending so much time wrestling with these contract issues that they would not have time to do anything else.
Just a couple minutes left here, Congressman. There may be some people listening to this and saying, well, these cuts are a result of the failed super committee, which was a result of the debt ceiling deal, which Republican leaders agreed to last summer. So
I voted against it.
So talk about that, why you voted against it at the time, and what you think your leadership was thinking at the time.
I can't really go into what the leadership was thinking. I can only explain why I voted against it. I had great hesitancy with respect to the super committee. I did not feel it was going to work. History showed that it did not work. Additionally, that vote, same vote, increased our debt ceiling by $2 trillion, basically kicking this issue down the road to 2013, where we're again going to have a debt ceiling crisis, except America will be weaker because now we have $2 trillion in additional debt service that we have to pay for. And I wasn't going to vote for increasing the debt ceiling like that unless we had a solution at the same time as we were increasing the debt ceiling. To me, the solution was requiring that a balanced budget constitutional amendment pass the United States Congress and become law before we increase the debt ceiling. Unfortunately, the Budget Control Act, the final version, omitted that requirement and instead just required that there be a vote in the United States House, the United States Congress, on balanced budget constitutional amendments. Well, we know what happened there. It failed in both the House and the Senate. I thought it was a very poorly thought out bill. I did not think that we were at risk of the kinds of defaults that the White House was projecting, quite frankly, because they started using a different definition for the word default than what you and I would use. They expanded it broadly. For example, if you started cutting services to reflect how much money you actually have on hand as opposed to all that we're borrowing, the White House called that a default. Most people, like you and me, we think of a default when we fail to pay our creditors amounts owed. There was never any risk that the United States of America would not pay its creditors. And so you have to be careful as you listen to these Washingtonians speak, because often they twist words to deceive the public.
Last question before we let you go, sir, real quickly. You mentioned that these cuts are in line to take effect the first of next year unless they're stopped. You have a Democratic Senate and a president that you mentioned is ready to veto any changes to sequestration. So what can you do about it?
I'm not very optimistic that anything is going to be done until we have the November elections, and then if the public does the right thing, we will be able to constructively address this once the new president is inaugurated and the new Congress is sworn in January of 2013. And probably what we do will be retroactive back to January 1st of 2013. If we keep the same Senate, keep the same White House, well, then America's defense is going to suffer.
We'll be certainly watching that and see how big of an issue that becomes in this year's campaign. Sir, thank you very much for being with us.
My pleasure, and thank you for what you're doing getting the word out.
Alabama Republican Congressman Mo Brooks represents his state's 5th Congressional District. He's also a member of the House Armed Services Committee. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.